of course. And also, Petrosol, you know that it's important to save money at this time of the year. The economy is not economy, so you need to save on that car maintenance. And that's why you need to buy better quality fuel, because it does help you reduce your maintenance cost, and then also helps your vehicle performance. So take no risk in times like this. All you need is value for your money. Look no further. Drive to the next Petrosol fuel station for your clean, accurate quantity fuel suitable for new technology vehicles. Be a happy customer. Fill with smiles. Drive more miles and save some money. Petrosol, it's always a delightful experience. All right, the guys are here. Later on the show, well, not later, right away, you can send me a message on 055-111-1997. Let me know what you make of all of the decisions. Kudus Mohammed has been, well, I don't want to use the word stripped of the captaincy. That's not really what it is. But after his experience of captaining the team in the last two matches, he's gone to Jordan Ayew. Right decision? In your opinion, what does it solve, really, in the team? And then let me know about what you make of Otuado's decision to also to drop Thomas Partey from the Black Star squad. But let me introduce my guest, and then we'll go to that squad very shortly. Muftar Nabila Abdullahi is here. Muftar?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, what's wrong?
Oh, is that your new signature laugh?
Ah, he's done it again.
Ah, Danny K. Ah! That's a lovely shirt you have on.
Yeah.
In fact, I wanted to comment Natinho. On it.
Yes.
Natinho Adaruma.
Aye. Yeah.
This nice influence. Okay.
TV stars.
Yeah. Natinho and the gang. That's the name of the band. Natinho and the gang.
Who are the other members?
Oh, myself, Karim Mubarak, again. Yeah.
The Yayi gang.
Yeah, so
you know how it's like, you know, Zongo, we call it Yayi.
So when you all of you sew the same thing, the same outfit.
Ah, it's called Yayi.
Ah, okay.
It's Yayi.
Yeah. Natinho on lead vocals.
And you know we used to do it a lot. Well, like, actually I don't have an hour,
even now it is done.
Yeah, in the Zongo, it's a thing. It's like done. We all sew the same outfit.
The whole family.
Ah. You see, where do you think the whole interval came from?
No, but me growing up, I used to like it. My older brother hated it. Those so like the same.
Yes.
I mean, two boys. So
oh, yeah.
The same shadow.
Same thing.
Then Sunday morning, they say, we'll bring out your clothes for church. Then I wait.
Uh-huh.
When he brings his own, I say, okay, he's wearing the green one. Let me try, bring my own. If he sees it early, he'll quickly change his own.
He doesn't want you looking like
he doesn't
like
want, but I'll keep changing. Because I want to look like my brother.
Achita Maklu.
Champ.
How you doing?
I'm great, yourself.
Yeah, I'm good. Listen, we've had a very busy week.
Yeah.
The Black Stars.
Charlie, before you continue, let me say, I promised someone I was going to give him shout on the show this morning.
No, it's the latter part you shout out.
No,
you want to take our precious time and do shout out?
Now, is it your show?
I will forget.
Fire away.
God, you go. Why do you want to censor
that? Nana Kwame Ajiman.
Ah.
You see, identify me today because of game plan.
Uh-huh. I see.
He says he doesn't miss the show.
I see.
Yes. I love that.
Nana Kwame Ajiman.
Yes.
He's a big man.
He's at Tabora.
Oh, Tabora.
Fantastic guy.
Were you going to take Trotsky?
No. No. So,
if you make
him explain.
You've not gotten what he's saying.
No.
I don't need multiple no's for this.
So, I left the house around 6:40.
Okay.
So, I knew Trotsky was not a choice.
Mm. Okay.
So, I tried to catch a taxi, but the guy said, nah, he's taking some kids to school. So, whilst I was crossing the road to the other side, he honked. Got my attention. I looked at it and he started waving that I should come. I was like, ah. So I went to his driving side. Then he said I should hop in. I said, I'm going to Joy FM. Then he said I shouldn't worry. He will drop me here because he's going to send. I said, so I hopped into the car, and then he said, oh, he asked me to come because he knows me. I said, from where? He said, from game plan. I said, okay, correct one. Yeah.
Nice one.
This gentleman has benefited from game plan.
Yes.
The last time I was here, it was other assassins who bundled me.
That's cool. So actually, don't worry. We'll call Petrus or we'll give you fuel coupons.
Sir.
Okay. We see that you can't buy fuel. So right now you are.
Sir, since we've done already, lift at the fuel. the fear lift too.
I know, yeah. Has he told that story here?
Ah, he forgot it. Not yeah, fully.
Anyway, okay, guys.
Not fully. Not yet.
Let's,
fully. Yeah.
Let's get the conversation going. For if you want to join the conversation on X or on Twitter, just use the hashtag game plan, and then we will get back to you. I'll retweet that and share it with the rest of our listeners from across the globe. But listen, I will go to the Blaster squad very, very shortly, actually right now. And then we will look at the other key stories coming out of Otuado's press conference. Okay, so he's released a 25-man squad for the game against Angola, which will be on Friday, and then the game against Niger, which will be on Monday next week. So the goalkeeper, he's made one decision. He's dropped the Kotoko goalkeeper and he's brought back Abdul Manaf Nuruddin. So it's Lawrence Atizigi, Manaf Nuruddin, and Joseph Wallacott who will be in the team this time around. He's named two fullbacks, Ali Desadio and Tariq Lamte. He's named Nathaniel Ejay as well. Alongside Jonas Adjetey of FC Basel, they're also in the team. Alexander Djiku is in there. Jerome Opoku is also in there. And Gideon Mensah is also in there, completing the defense. The midfield is gone with Isaac Afol of Samatex. Actually, he's a defender too. But he's got Razak Simpson, also of Nations FC, who's also a defender. And then you've got in midfield, Elisha Owusu, Abu Francis, Ibrahim Sulemana, Michael Baidu, Mohamed Kudus, and Emmanuel Enchi of Asante Kotoko. They are the players he's named in midfield. And his forward players are seven of them. Ibrahim Osman, Enes Niyama, Antoine Semenyo, Jordan Ayu, Inaki Williams, Abdul Fattah Isahaku, and Joseph Pencil. So that's that. The only real big name missing here is Thomas Partey, who Otuado said had indicated his interest to come for this particular match, but he made a decision not to call him.
I had a confidential talk with Thomas. Like, you know, I'm a coach who always like to protect the players. So I hope for your understanding. For me, the team is like family, and I'm not coming out with internal issues. But I made quite clear to him he wanted to come. So this one first, he wanted to come. But I made quite clear that why he's not coming. Like I said, it's confidential. It's difficult for me to mention all the things. It's like that. We have to move on.
All right, so that's Otuado there. He says we all need to move on, okay? We all need to move on. He made that decision and we must move on. He also announced at the presser that he is decided to make Jordan Ayew the captain of the team for these two matches or even going forward. This is what Otto said.
I had a confidential talk with Thomas. Like, you know, now as we know, Thomas is not there for the next two games. We made the decision at the end, I decided to take a new captain for the team, which will be Jordan. So I talked to Kudus for him to understand that for me, he still needs to learn and grow into that role. And I want him to still to be second captain alongside Djiku, but Jordan will take over now, from now.
Jordan will take over for now. I don't know exactly what this means for Thomas Partey's future, but he made a very interesting revelation there about Jordan Ayew now becoming captain. And then he goes on to say he wants Kudus to grow into the role. I don't know where this thought process was when he gave him the armband 2 matches ago, but we are where we are right now. And even if that was a mistake, at least maybe now he's taking steps to rectify it. But what does it solve? quite a number of issues to unpack. Apart from that too, there is the game itself, or the two matches themselves. Are we going to be able to win these matches? I think Otto has repeated that it's not over yet. But I think the reality of the situation is that there is no chance Ghana qualifies for the AFCON. Not a single chance. And the wild thing to me is that even if Sudan were to lose both of their remaining matches, I can't even guarantee that the Black Stars would win both of theirs. That's how poor Otto Addo's Ghana has been in World Cup qualifying. In AFCON qualifying. In four matches, they've scored one goal. Four matches, no victory, one goal scored. And this is an unprecedented low that Otto has taken the Black Stars. And the refusal to accept that he himself is a major contributing factor to what's going on is problematic to me. We know that the Black Stars' problems are diverse and there are a plethora of them. But coaching is part of the issue. Otto Addo has not shown me that he's learned anything from his first stint that he's applied to his second stint. He's making mistakes that are avoidable, that are contributing to an already toxic situation. That decision to give Kudus the armband, we told him that it was not the right decision. Not that Kudus is not fit enough to be captain, but for the exact same reason he just explained now, that he needed the freedom to express himself until he's grown into the role. Captaincy comes with pressure. And with the history of the country that we are dealing with, you have to understand the institutional history of the Black Stars and its captaincy issues. And even the number 10 jersey, you heard a fan speak about it and you say, okay, maybe that is trivial. It may be in some quarters, but in the Black Stars, it is not. Unless you're naive and unwilling to admit the realities of our national team. We have a player who granted an interview to say that he wore 10 and the next day he couldn't sleep. This is the reality. And that is his own individual experience. You cannot dismiss it. He said it. I didn't.
CK said when he wore the number 10, they called him and said, hey, yeah, kasa uti wo.
You understand? So you have Otto Addo, who's on, and you see, the decision to even give Kudus the captaincy, he didn't even consult. I've spoken to ex-players who say he doesn't listen. And then his own chatter doesn't help matters. You sit here and you draw against Sudan, and you come out and chat nonsense like Sudan were lucky and that they won't be lucky the next time out. Then you go and lose 2-0. No humility to even admit the reality of the situation. And then after you lose 2-0, you come out and tell us that we don't have good players as we used to. The comparison is not between the players we have now and the players we had in 2006. The comparison is the players you have and the players of the teams that are beating you. Are you telling me that the reason we lost to Sudan is because our players are not as good as they used to be? Are Sudan's players better than ours? Are Niger's players better than ours? Are Angola's players better than ours? So this deflection and continuous sidelining of issues, I don't get it. And for me, Otto has, he's massively disappointed me. And you know, the reality of not going to the AFCON still hasn't sunk in yet. For me,
it will not sink in because you have two more matches to play. Wait la.
And even if that statement that he made about our players not being good enough compared to the players of his time, even if I don't even think that is true. Because if I take you to the 2006 World Cup, at the World Cup proper, and I give you the starting 11 of a team that played against Italy in our first game, and I give you the starting 11 and compare that to the starting 11 of his team that got beaten 2-0 by Sudan, I don't even agree that the 2006 team was better. When Olele was imposed that time, he was unattached. At least he keep plays in the top European league in Switzerland. Adekwe Papo was playing in Israel at left back. You know who played at left back? Gideon Mensah. You know where he plays? In the French league. Top 5 league in the world. John Pinsel was playing in Israel at the time at right back. You know who your right back was against Sudan? A player who plays in the French league. That is a higher level than the Israeli league. Both of those players. John Mensah was playing in Serie B before that 2006 World Cup. His center back partner at the time was Kufuor in that match. He was playing for Roma.
Yeah.
The two players that partnered each other in the defeat against Sudan were Salisu, plays in the Champions League regularly. And even Kufuor was at the twilight of his career.
Yeah.
And then the other center back partner was Djiku, who plays in the Turkish league. That is a higher level compared to Serie B. If you go to midfield, Eric Addo at the time was playing in the Netherlands, wasn't even getting playing time. Elisha Usu plays consistently in the French league. The only place where there is a clear leader was Essien in midfield. You compare him to a player like
Abu Ibrahim.
No, it's Slimane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you say
Slimane Ibrahim.
But even Slimane, if you compare him to Muntari, Muntari was playing at Udinese. He plays at Atalanta, who are in the Champions League. Udinese were not a Champions League team at the time. This is the reality. Even Steven Appiah was playing in Turkey then. Kudus plays in England now. Place was West Ham. Higher level. Asimajan was playing in Serie B. Semenyo plays in the Premier League. Week in, week out. Much higher level. Matsuyama was playing in Germany. Was barely getting any playing time. You know where Jordan Ayew plays? In the Premier League. So even that statement.
Iñaki Williams, La Liga.
Thank you. Now, I mean, this is just starting 11 alone. Then you go to the bench. All of Ghana's players who were on the bench in that game against Italy back in 2006. Nothing to write home about in terms of club football. These guys that he's coaching now are playing at various elite levels. And we can blame them all we want and say that their performances have been mediocre. In the Blasters, yes. But when you watch them week in, week out for their various clubs, do you see mediocrity in their performances? It's somebody's job to bring it all together. And that's the coaches. Create an enabling environment. Part of that environment is the coach's job. And he's made decisions that do not contribute to a healthy environment conducive for performance. One of them is the captaincy issue and how he handled it. Some players were fuming. Even the player he gave the captaincy armband to, he wasn't happy. Achu.
The monologue, no, how long it last?
Okay, that was good, that was fire. Kaliba, on a level you there for? Friends.
Achu, go on.
when you allow me to break the ice.
When the driver we are going to watch the AFCON on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, this is what I have to say on record. On record, Kwesi Appiah, he said, oh, don't worry, you watch it on TV.
Oh, that's what I was. Do you know? No, actually, do you know what this means? This is a country that made it to back to, in fact, from 2008.
Say 10 consecutive AFCONs, 10 consecutively.
Qualification. I'm even talking about making semi-finals.
Yeah.
That from 2008 to 2017, there was only 1 year that we didn't make the semis. Yeah. That was 06. To getting kicked out back to back in the group stages and now not qualifying.
Yeah, made the final twice in 5 years, 2010, 2015.
Yeah.
And both finals were supposed to be transitional teams, right?
And those teams themselves, in terms of the level at which the players play, the current players, look, I would go to war with anybody that says that the current players no reach. They don't reach, saying. You know the players we used to go to AFCON final in 2010?
Yes. I recall that team so well. In fact, when that team was going,
go back and check that squad. Which of those players reach?
Opoku Ajiman.
Opoku Ajiman. Kojo Asamoah.
Achu, please go on.
Now, I was paying attention to yesterday's presser, and I thought I was happy with his handling of the Thomas Partey situation. And just to give a bit of context and to be fair to Thomas Partey himself, Partey's body can no longer cope with the exertions of 3 games per week. When you add the international assignments that he has to fly every 6 weeks, fly down to come and play, it further exacerbates the situation. Right? And so for me, I am not surprised that at his age, he is not available every time. What's more, Partey is in the final year of his contract at Arsenal. There is no guarantee that Arsenal are going to extend his contracts because of his age and the other issues that we all know but cannot perhaps mention publicly. So he's in a situation where he has to go above and beyond to consider Arsenal, to convince Arsenal that he's worth the trouble. Right? And when you also listen to some of the utterances of the Arsenal manager, Mikel Arteta, the last time Partey did not show up for the last international break, Arteta said, for the last time he showed up for the games and he had possibly his worst performance in a Black Stars jersey against Niger, Arteta's immediate commentary about Partey was that he returned in the best shape possible. And that was a game a lot of us felt that Partey did not really exert himself. That sort of thing plays on a person's mind, like it or not. So, knowing the unique physical condition that Partey is in, as I've established, his age and the fact that he can no longer play 3 games, even at Arsenal, when he plays in midweek games or the next weekend, we all complain that Arteta may not have made the best decision. When you consider that, and you consider his contract situation, I'm not surprised that it comes across as though he is preserving himself. And indeed, he is preserving himself. So,
That's not what Otto says, though.
I'm not speaking to what Otto said.
Okay.
I'm saying that this is my deduction of the Partey Arsenal situation and how it affects the Black Stars. Right?
His non-committal performances.
So, with that background in mind...
In quotes.
Yes. With that background in mind, I am not surprised that, especially for the last window, Partey said he didn't feel comfortable coming. Now, it is up to him to make decisions that are in his best interest. However, Thomas Partey is not Victor Achutamaki. Thomas Partey is not a journalist on the Joy Sports desk. Thomas Partey is a captain of the national team. And that is a position that places extra responsibility on him. Now, even before I continue that, any decision at all comes with consequences. So you can preserve yourself. You can make decisions that will advance your course. But every decision and action comes with consequences. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When you also consider the fact that the man making these decisions, or in this particular situation, is the Black Stars captain, you do realize that you cannot compromise the standards for him, irrespective of the uniqueness of his situation. In any event, if there is a compromise to be made, it has to be a conversation with the Black Stars coach, then a collective decision that, okay, because of XYZ, we are excusing Mr. Partey for this game. Mm-hmm. Because what you don't want to do is, and the wording of, and I till date have found it problematic, the wording of that explanation that he didn't feel comfortable to calm down, because he had earlier said that he was injured, there was a whole correspondence with the GFA.
Well, the FA, he was ill, like he was unwell.
Exactly. The FA, action correspondence with the Arsenal medical team after that, because they were not satisfied. They said they still wanted to test him, so calm down and let's check. Partey said he didn't feel comfortable to calm down. Now, if you open the floodgates, or if you allow that to go without any reaction, you are essentially opening the floodgates for everyone to only respond to national team invitations when it comes at no cost to them, when it is convenient. And you see, it does not matter that it was a one-time thing. For a new manager, for a team that has gone through 5-6 years of a rotten culture, especially for Otuado, who has seen the last 2 years, right, or in the last 3 years, been there to see different coaches having to deal with issues around the team, you absolutely cannot compromise. And it may be unfortunate that this is perhaps the one time Partey fell foul of it, but the whip had to be cracked, right? He needed to calm down, because as I've said, you don't want a situation where you are opening the floodgate, because when you do, people will respond to the national team call-ups when it is convenient for them. And for me, I'm happy that this decision was taken. He told Partey in the face that, you know what, don't bother coming this time. Because at the end of the day, the captain of the national team is supposed to be an extension of the coach's authority.
So you're saying that this is punishment?
Oh, that's how I see it.
For not coming the last time.
That's how I see
it. Do you think there's a certain permanency to this decision?
I don't be...
Even from what Otu said?
For his ability, no. For his availability, sorry, no. But I'll come to the captaincy bit because of how Otu worded his speech. But in terms of why we needed to take a grim view of this, the captain is supposed to be an extension of the coach's authority. He is supposed to be, for all intents and purposes, an embodiment or a reflection of all the values that you want to identify with the team. Mm-hmm. So consistency, so availability, being personable, being reliable, a good performer on the pitch, and someone who is an example to everyone else. Right?
Yes.
So that is the situation. And with that background in mind, I will absolutely applaud Otuado for making that decision. In any event, Partey himself has not played himself into an indispensable position in the Black Stars. Partey, I struggled.
When was the last decent Partey performance?
I can't remember.
Oh, are you serious?
I can't remember. The last performance where
Partey, I thought he was good against Mali away from
he
home.
Was good, but I'm saying that the last game where Partey left you with, wow, this is the Partey we know. They are far between few.
Right.
So, if at the end of the day, you will come and there is no distinction between your performance of someone who is perhaps at level D or level C but had a good game, why is it worth the trouble? So, we are at that point where a decision had to be made.
And you back Otu.
I back Otu.
Partey, for what he's done.
Partey is prioritizing his career. There is nothing wrong with that. But we have a team to build. And at this point, Otu or the Black Stars coach needs to take advantage of every opportunity to drum it home that this is not business as usual.
Fair enough. And that's why I ask you the question about... Yeah, I'll let you go to the captaincy.
Yes.
Now, I ask if you felt like
there was a permanence
to that Otu decision. Like, as in, would he call him? It's like the same... So basically, I'm trying to ask whether this is similar to the Andre situation.
But he's in the doghouse.
For sure.
Yes.
Right now, for sure.
Right now, for sure, he's in the doghouse. Right now, Thomas Partey is another player in the team who has to. And you see, that was the case anyway from the beginning, that the standards are the same for everyone.
Yeah.
But now he's played himself into the doghouse. In terms of the captaincy, that is where I have a problem with Otu.
Okay.
You've explained the inconsistency with and the handling of the Kudus, the Jordan thing, so I will not get there. Mm-hmm. But it is the communication of this.
Right.
Because I got the sense, and since yesterday, the comms departments have been silent, which leaves me, okay, this is what they wanted Otto to communicate, or they agree with the way Otto communicated this, because that is exactly the narrative they want people to have.
What more are they supposed to say?
Because Otto's words, and you see, I'm confused because Otto is not an Englishman. He doesn't speak very good English. He doesn't have a full appreciation, or should I say, sufficient appreciation of every word he puts out there. Mm-hmm. And even the sum of those words and the impressions they create. Mm-hmm. So when he says, so I have spoken to them, and that specifically, he said, Jordan is the captain for now and from now on.
Let me play the voice for you again.
I had a confidential talk with Thomas. Like, you know, I'm a... Now, as we know, Thomas is not there for the next two games. We made the decision to talk to or at the end, I decided to take a new captain for the team, which will be Jordan. So I talked to Kudus for him to understand that for me, he still needs to learn and grow into that role. And I want him to still to be second captain alongside Jiku, but Jordan will take over now, from now.
What's wrong with what he said?
Jordan will take over now and from now.
Yeah, he says, but he began by saying the absence of Thomas. He says, we know Thomas is not in the team.
Yes.
So, yeah. My issue is even the fact that he said he's that conversation with Kudus that, oh, yeah.
Friends, it is true. It's like, because if Jordan is the captain, look, these are not things we need to haggle over. If Jordan is the captain, let the team know. Because the haphazard nature of the previous handling was the reason he spent about, was it 8 or 9 days flying around Europe, having to go and have that mini summit or whatever it was. Jordan, Kudus, then every other player who he later was informed that, okay, your decisions have upset people in the team. Right?
Right.
So you may sit back and think these things are not important, but this is the feedback the coach gets, and it is credible information from the camp of these players. Mm-hmm. That is why the FA will pay and put Otuado on a plane to the UK to go and speak to Jordan, to go and speak to Kudus and every other aggrieved party in this matter. The Kudus thing, I thought his words were very scathing and damaging on Kudus, because he said, you will need time to grow into it. Those two words connote immaturity.
Or those that he words, was not satisfied with his conduct.
Regardless,
the last time
they connote immaturity. They connote, as you have said, dissatisfaction. That is not what you want to say about someone who you say you want to be part of the leadership. But at the end of the day, for me, water under the bridge. Get your acts together, GFA and Otuado. Right? And make sure that there is no spillover from whatever has happened in the past month. Because if this descends, if whatever it is that made Otto and the Ghana Football Association and everyone around the team feel like these conversations have to be had. Right? If those voices of dissent are not killed now, here and now, for everyone to wipe the slate clean and then move on, ultimately, it is the team that will suffer.
Okay. I think that's fair. That's fair. Thank you, Achu. Let me read a couple of messages, and then I'll go to Daniel and Muftar. Nitojo from Tema Newtown says, nothing interesting about this Black Stars team and the GFA. Let's accept our failures and work towards alleviating them. 0551111997. I've got more messages here. This one says, both the FA president and the Black Stars coach are not serious. They are not matured enough to be where they are. Look at the state of Ghana football, and its totality. You will agree with me. All right, interesting. This is a message from Nene Yumate. He sent us that message. This one says, Otto knows that the race to the AFCON is over, and because of the history of Partey's injuries, it was a good decision to leave him out of the squad. I think giving the captain's band to Jordan is the best decision. He was actually supposed to captain the team in the last two games. Whatever happened, nobody knows. So let's just say sense has come into someone's head. Besides, it will ease the pressure on Kudus. Bright in East Legon sent us that message. That's a fair point. This one says, I don't think it's a matter of the class of teams. It's bringing quality players together to form a team. And whose job is that? So we can't find a better coach than this one, behaving like a spoiled rich kid. He can never make a team. Drew sent us that particular message. All right, interesting. Thank you for those messages. What I will do is take my own very brief round of messages. When I come back, Daniel Krante and Muftar Nabila Abdullah will have their take on this matter, and then we can move on to other matters. This is Game Plan on 99.7 Joy FM, hits 103.9 FM, and is sponsored by Betway and PatroSoul. We'll be right back.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Welcome back. This is Game Plan on 99.7 Joy FM, hits 103.9 FM. I promised you it will be a very brief break. And we are back. finding motivation to play these two matches is very difficult. Because now we are not qualifying. So, what vim are you even using to go into the match? But anyway, Danny K, let me shift to you. Your thoughts on Otuado's press conference. Any issues stand out there for you?
Charlie, my man, he conf.
Otoe.
Yeah, he's very confused. Because, do you remember the game plan, if you listeners remember, the game plan episode where we're discussing, straight after the AFCON, we're discussing who the probable captains for the Black Stars should be, and we even opened the phone lines at the end.
Yeah.
I was saying Jordan should be captain and we're doing some small competition. You remember that one?
Yes.
Now, you remember that before we opened the phone lines, we were talking about the fact that it looked like Andre had been frozen out of the team.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Richard Ofori had been frozen out of the team. So the three existing captains, it was only one who was part of this new Black Stars team, which is Partey. So then I mentioned that it was very important for Otuado to communicate, not to us, but to the team. Let the team know who
that was even before Otto got the job.
That was if we're saying that whoever comes in should communicate to the team who the new leaders are, because it looked like we were moving from Andre and then Richard Ofori. It was very important.
Yes.
Now, we never got that communication. And from what we know, the players also never got that communication. Now, let's talk about the individuals who were selected. Look, the team is under pressure. The players know. Some of the players, when they call them up, when their clubs, the club administrators call them to the office, tell them that Charlie Boga, you've been selected for national team. They say, damn, they don't want to come. Like, no, serious, Muftar, you know this thing. Maybe it's the way I'm saying it. Okay,
the players say,
I'll
damn.
Try and be serious.
Damn.
No, they say, damn. Ah, but wait, Charlie, damn, people man. Don't do this. You see, when I say these things, you laugh.
You mean like that? You mean like that internet meme? Hell no!
They don't want to come. They don't want to come.
Okay, I don't think it's gotten there.
No. You see, when I say these things and people laugh, then people listen to think I'm joking. But it's true. Like, the players...
They'll call a player for Black Stars and their reaction when they are told is what?
Damn.
No, not that one.
Hell no. See, but, you see, there's so much pressure, especially now. Like, there's always pressure when you wear your national team jersey. But... because of how poor this team has become, because of the backlash, even when it's not international break safe, when it's not international period,
they are facing the
backlash.
They are
still firing them. Like, it's that bad. And you see, this is not 2006 where if somebody was insulting ACN, ACN will have to wait and come to Ghana and listen to Ghana radio before he will learn what they are saying about him. This time, as you are playing, they are insulting you.
That's right.
When you finish and you pick up your phone, you are going to see all the insults. That's if you decide to pick up your phone. Like, times have changed. Let's understand this. So, you might credit, let's say, past players. Okay, yeah, this guy was able to handle pressure. But it wasn't
and
as...
they didn't deal with it in real time.
They didn't deal with it. Thank you. The way these guys are dealing with it. So, your mental state needs... you need to be tough. Like, you... not just the head coach, but whoever is leading this team needs to be tough. Mm-hmm. And that's why on that episode, when we're talking... I said that, look, for me, when you talk about people who have gone through
all phases,
look,
Jordan Jiku, they were my two. If anybody was going to be captain or join Partey as captains, these two should have been the first. Because even their conduct at the AFCON, listen to the interviews that Jordan gave at the AFCON. Mm-hmm. That Jiku, after the last game, the second game, the second when we drew game. Against.
He said we are not out yet.
Look, what they were doing, and if you go back and listen to those interviews, there was pressure, but they were putting pressure on themselves, mm-hmm. saying that they were younger players, it is up to the senior boys to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. And you see, that is what leadership is. You don't, and then the captain of the Ofori. Let's go back. Ofori, who was captain?
Ghana.
Mm-hmm. Ofori was captain. He was the one dishing blame to players.
Yes. He said, we are Ghana.
When there's pressure like that, mm-hmm. look, and you are a leader of a sinking ship, or you are a leader of an under pressure ship, you don't start giving
apportioning blames.
No, you don't do that. You take the responsibility. It may not be your fault, but you take the responsibility and shield the younger players from some of these pressures and this backlash. And that's what these guys were doing. So for me, it gave me a clear indication. We didn't get the announcement in March. We didn't get the announcement in June when we faced Mali and Central African Republic. But something happened after the Central African Republic game.
Right.
Which for me, if there's a head coach who understands his players, who is thinking about making a certain decision, that incident should have let him have second thoughts.
Right.
After Kudus received the criticism for his performance against Central African Republic, I said I thought he had a good game. But
are you talking about the 4-3?
The 4-3.
Yes.
You remember people were criticizing. He came on social media and started replying people.
Yes.
You remember?
Yes.
Look, this is how I look at it. We had won against Mali. We had won against Central African Republic. The general feeling was happiness. That was the general feeling. In fact, those comments that were coming of those criticisms, those tweets that he went to reply to, they were first half tweets.
And they were in the minority.
Mm-hmm. So it was during the first half. That's when those people had sent out those tweets. At the end of the game, people were not really berating players.
Because I think we went behind like twice in the first half, right?
Yeah. We took the lead and we were down at halftime. Yes. Then we came back and won by 4-3.
So at halftime, people were angry.
People were angry and people were blasting them, which was fine. Everybody is entitled to we all watch football differently, so it's very fine. But you see, when you have a player go back and go and sift through his comments, and the funny thing is that they didn't even mention him. So it's either the algorithm showed him the tweets because it's his name, or he went to the search button and went to search his name and went to look for negative comments. No, to be frank.
Yeah.
And you see, when that thing happens, it doesn't show me somebody who is ready to take and carry the pressure to be captain of this team. It doesn't at all. So for me, if you were thinking of giving him such a huge responsibility, that should have changed your mind. But it didn't. Then you went back to give him the captaincy. In fact, now I can say it. You forced the thing on the boy's hand. The boy said, Minji, but you were forcing the thing on the guy's hand. And the guy had to collect it together with the number 10 jersey. And now they went to Sudan. It didn't work. We played here. It didn't work. We went to Sudan. It didn't work. Then after the game, 2 days later, he went to slap somebody. Who collected it first? Van de Ven. Van de Ven collected. He got up. Who came again? Richardson got elbow or something like that. So they balance and slap. Then Papa Matasa got double hand. This one is Big Show. Like that.
Did you see the headline from the Independent? They say Kudus floss.
Charlie. No, you see.
He kicked and then slapped.
The serious matter is what happened this week. Yeah. When we found
in
out
his
that,
defense.
Yes. He told the panel.
Yes.
That he was already having to deal with negative social media comments from the international break.
Yes.
So what Kudus was telling the people was that after the disappointment of the Sudan games, yes. he went to see things on social media which affected his mindset, yes. and he took that burden,
including that Kivo Pepe guy.
Thank you. Into the game against Tottenham, and it affected him. That is not somebody you should be pressuring with captaincy.
Fact. It also means that we didn't help him with that decision.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
you didn't help the boy. This guy is a look, Boga, whether you like it or
not. And that's why he recognizes now that he needs to grow into. So no, he knew.
So now you are recognized. And for me, what I'm saying is that I'm giving the timeline because there were signs that the guy is not ready.
You're right.
There were signs that the guy can't handle this
thing. You're right. You're right.
And you see, put that thing aside. Even if you are going to make that decision, why didn't you tell the team? Why do senior team members, in fact, the whole team, why do they have to find out this captaincy thing from a press conference?
So what Daniel is saying is that the first time the players heard, that even officials of the team heard, that Kudus was going to captain Ghana for those two matches, was when Otto said it at the presser.
Yes! You see, it's one thing speaking to the person you want to give it to.
Yes.
When that is agreed, you address the team.
Yes.
Before you come and tell us.
Yes.
You can't let the team find out through the press. And you see, let me also say, it is very important. You see, listeners might think that this thing is trivial. Boga, there are some things that happen in your household. If I enter faint, I'll think that this thing, but why is it a big deal? But it is a big deal in your house.
Yes.
So when
there's
history. Thank you. When I come there, all I have to do is to respect it. I don't need to understand why it is the way it is. It is just like that. When it comes to Black Stars, captaincy, number 10, it is a big deal. Now, for somebody who has played with this team before, in Otuado, you went to a major competition with this team, a World Cup. You understand what the captaincy means. You understand what certain jersey numbers mean. Jersey numbers mean, including number 42. You understand what they mean?
Muftau is the one who has the background story for
number
why
42.
Yes.
And do you know that for CAF games there's
a fine.
Thank you. If you give a jersey number over 25, you chop fine. So Ghana went to pay money twice. We've gone to pay twice because it's
for Semenyo to wear
number 42
to reverse his jersey number.
You know you're going to use those dollars to go and fix pitch. You are going pitch. The pitch that you say is no good. You're not going to use the dollars to go and fix the pitch. You are using it to give somebody number 42. That was
what was his original jersey? What, 24?
24, say something like
they
that.
They flipped it.
Go and flip the thing and give down. 42.
You were telling me the other day that...
I said spiritual cleansing.
That is... So wait, you are saying that I went to see Mala.
No, I didn't say that.
The Malam said that the Aibo boy in the team should wear number 42 and we will win.
Boga, in fact...
Muftau, you said it.
Hey, yay! Let me finish and I'll come back to this team. Because the thing, you see the way I check the thing inside.
Muftau is not denying it. Okay, fine.
That's why I put the thing inside.
Muftau said he didn't say that. Fair enough.
Boga, when you've played with this team before and you understand the culture, you've not just played, you've managed this team before. You had at least what, like a 6-7 month spell with this, and you've come back.
Who says 7 months? He was in charge from March till December.
It was March to December.
Yeah. Anger.
We
played Nigeria in March.
Yeah. The World Cup. I forgot to say
that was for 9 months.
Thank you. 9 months. A full pregnancy. So you understand? Oh, Boga. Charlie, don't do that.
Full term.
Thank you. See, I'm on the road and I'm driving at 100. So people are crossing.
Is your wife pregnant?
You
okay.
Do this thing. A full pregnancy. That is 9 months. So you understand what it means. It's long enough for you to understand team culture. If maybe as a player you are forgotten, then you've come back. You understand what these things mean. So when it comes to communication, especially when there's a new page being turned and you are naming new captains or you want to carry a new leadership, you need to inform the team. You didn't do that. Then now you've gone to give the team to Kudus. Now the thing has backfired. Now let's come back. Okay, if you say Partey is not a captain, and you have two assistants in Kudus and Jiku, and Partey is not present, and Kudus needs to go into the captaincy, then who should be captain? Is it not Jiku? Mm-hmm. Or it be me where I conf? I want you people to understand me.
I'm trying.
If you've listed three people who, in your estimation, are the new leaders,
okay,
one is not in the squad. Mm-hmm. The other one, you say that he needs to grow into the captaincy, mm-hmm, so he should relax. Mm-hmm. The third one, shouldn't he be the one captaining this game? What if you want to bring somebody who wasn't under consideration in the last 2 months, all of a sudden to jump and become the captain? What does it mean? Do you know what it means? Ask me.
What does it mean?
It means that when he gave the thing to Partey, and he gave the thing to Kudus, and he gave the thing to Jiku, there was uproar. There was shakings in the camp. When they shake the man, when they tell and say, "Boga, this thing you are doing is wrong. This is the captain." So now he has realized that Aduyawa, they say, "Bosu, come and take your captain's armband." That's what he has done. So now I want to ask Otuado something. You see the way Atu is, we are all confused. We don't know if Pate is coming back. So the next international break, which is the World Cup qualifier, which is very important.
March 2025.
Very important, because by that time, AFCON has passed. Yes, March 2025. Yes. AFCON has passed and World Cup qualifiers is continuing. Now, let's remember that we won our last two World Cup qualifiers. So we are actually on a roll when it comes to the World Cup qualifiers. Yes. And we need to continue that momentum. So those two games in March are very important. Now, if Pate comes back, who are the two assistants? Me, I want to understand.
Mm-hmm. No, we'll do three.
Will Jordan now become part of the assistants, or will fall outside the scope again? Who is even the first assistant? This thing is confusing. You see, the reason why it's worrying me is because me, I know that it means something in the team, and it can be a reason why somebody will go on the pitch angry, somebody will go on the pitch upset.
Oh yes,
it can affect the team.
Yes.
So
it can cause discord.
So Otuado,
that will be palpable.
See, so for Otuado, Boga, he needs to do the needful. The confusion, no. You see, sometimes when you are confused, you see that they tell you that, is that you go out, say, go and shout, then it will bring your blood pressure down or shake your head when you like when you do. You remember that advert? So they were doing brrr. If you shake yourself, maybe, or just listen. You understand? When people are talking and people have more experience, just listen. It's not everything that you have to do, change now. I'm the one in charge. You understand? Every good leader surrounds himself with people who have wisdom, people who have experience, people who are advising. So just listen. Because some of these people who are talking to you have been in the team longer and they understand what some certain small things mean.
Just listen.
It's
when you talk to people, the sense you get is that oh to know and I saw a thing.
You see, when your ear is hard, you understand. When your ear is hard, it's not, you see, you don't have to, it doesn't have to cut across. Sometimes you need to be stubborn when you are making certain
push
decisions.
Through certain things.
Sometimes you also need to be a bit malleable. Yes. Let people massage you small, listen to But in conclusion, now let's rewind and come back to that Semenyotin.
Yes.
You see, the issue is that.
You mean the number 42?
Boga, I have done broad consultation.
There's a problem there.
And I'm talking like Trump. I've done broad consultation.
Broad consultation.
And I was told that. They said you are the one who brought it, but I went to do.
Yeah, you're running away from.
They said the Voltairean.
I brought it off record. I'm bringing it off
record. Should be the one who should wear the number 42.
Who said? That's what your sources told you.
That's what the spiritualist said.
Pay your sources.
Thank you. That the
you have to clarify. Pay your sources.
I did broad consultation.
Yes. And yes. Pay your reliable sources.
Pay my reliable sources.
Right.
The Voltaire was supposed to wear the number 42.
But you could not never.
But the issue is that there are two Voltaireans in the team. And you see,
and gave you zero.
When you hear the name Semenyo, like it rose off the top. Like when you hear Semenyo, no,
it's obvious.
But the issue is that Jiku has extra fire because he speaks the language. Semenyo, you know, rebab the language. You understand?
You're so saying that Jiku plays, Jiku speaks.
Ever.
And Temenyo speaks British English.
Masa, you don't know anything.
The crying baby girls have collected all.
And you see, because they just looked at the squad list, then Temenyo, then this one, this is what the spiritualist must be talking about.
No.
Then they gave him Then they gave him the jersey. But what the spiritualist meant was Jiku. If Jiku had won the number 42, so go back to the Sudan match. Who missed the first chance?
Jiku, off the post.
Thank you. That was the first goal.
Oh, DK.
That was the first goal. And they repeated the same mistake in the game against Sudan. Now, remember, the
away
game
from
against...
Home.
Away from home. Now, remember, go back to the Sudan game. The first half.
You mean the first leg or second leg?
The second leg.
Okay.
Second leg, first half. Do you remember... Sudan's first counter-attack, where did they pass? It was Jiku who made a mistake.
Yeah.
If he was wearing the 42,
no mistake.
Ah, boga.
So the spiritualist did his job.
God. But this one, I've got a message, yes, from Philip, who says, it's a simple matter. Fati was not selected so that Jordan can be captain of the team. That's an interesting take.
Yeah. And you see, let's no one take any of this to mean that Jordan was throwing tantrums because he wasn't captain. No.
I don't even think that was insinuated at all at any point. But, you know, but there are certain decisions that affect the chemistry of a team. And, you know, the captaincy issue, when it comes to the Black Stars, it's a major, major issue. You know, if you think that...
Our man, he just knows for us.
Yeah, and if you think
yesterday, someone was asking me, why couldn't he do what Andre normally does when he's not fit and he's not even available and they call him to calm down? He'll calm down with his own medics. They will monitor him. Sometimes he spends time with the team.
Yeah.
Not just Andre. We've seen other captains also do that.
Yeah. Anyway, but the other issue that I was talking about, like if you think that the captaincy is a trivial matter, go back to 2019. Our failure to handle a captaincy issue created what till date is one of the...
May 2019, when Jan said he was not going to play again.
You think captaincy is not a big issue?
Presidential summit.
AFCON
92.
It's a massive issue.
But historically, if all the way up from the 1950s, if you read about the history of Ghana's Black Stars, it's always been fraught.
It's a massive issue. I've got a message here. This one says, hi, Fenn. And the guys, I think for the first time or two, although as Black Stars coach, has taken a very good decision on Partey to drum home the fact that no player is above the Black Stars. Not especially these over-pampered wannabes. The captaincy issue is untidy. The management committee and technical team must confer and bring proper solution before the March 2025 qualifiers. Citizen Sika Togo from UG. That's a very, very fair point indeed. Muftau, I don't know from what angle you want to take this from, but you have sources. What have you been told about any of these things that we're talking about?
I think a chunk of them has been touched by Daneke and Achi. The drama post the Sudan games, I felt, were a bit unnecessary. Where there were loads of high blood, so heated disagreements, and Otto had to do the most responsible thing, in my opinion, which is visiting the players and having conversations with them. That was really, really needed. In fact, I was actually even made to understand that, you know, we are always told that, oh, you lose the dressing room. That Otto has lost control of the dressing room, actually. And that was a point where the Ghana Football Association decided to consider the possibility of getting some technical support for Otto Addo. And this is a conversation I don't think the FA has stopped. What I do know and can state emphatically is the fact that they need technical support for Otto. And they don't just need any technical support. They need someone of a certain quality who can step in and lead the team, just maybe in the absence of Otto Addo. As to who that person is going to be, my sources have not been able to tell me that. But I'm very much aware that the drama that surrounded Ghana's games against Sudan is the reason why the FA were considering this. And in fact, there's so much pressure. The pressure now is being directed to the FA. The pressure is being directed to the FA because failure of the Black Stars to qualify for an AFCON, I'm not sure many Ghanaians would forgive the FA. So they're also trying to see how they can salvage the situation of qualifying to the World Cup 2026. That's why I was made to understand that they're probably looking for technical support for Otto Addo. I've heard people talk about the fact that...
How soon will this happen, you think?
I'm sure it should happen before the 2026 World Cup qualifiers in March next year. If Otto is able to steady the ship, because I know the FA likes him.
he's someone who is appreciated by the people within the Football Association. But when it comes to throwing anyone under a bus and cover yourself, that one they will do it. They'll throw Otua under the bus and get someone who can steady the ship for them to be able to win matches and win, get the support of Ghanaians. And
so when you say when it comes to, at what point does his job begin to be considered?
I'm sure if the next round of the qualifiers, 2026 World Cup, doesn't go well, I'm not sure we might have Otto again, based on the conversations I've been privy to.
So what matters in these two games?
You see, initially, when they were hiring him, one of the things they spoke about, qualifying for the AFCON, they thought was a given. And it was considered mandatory for him to qualify. That's an aspect of his clause that he's not been able to meet. Because one of the things was for him to qualify for the 2025 AFCON and qualify for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. So failure to qualify for the 2025 AFCON, that is one area that's already done. And failure to qualify for 2026 World Cup would be the final nail on his coffin.
So you're saying that already Otuado has failed 50% of his target.
Oh, that one, he's failed.
50% of his target,
yeah,
failed.
He's failed.
Spectacularly.
I cannot say it is spectacularly because...
Well, it's one goal scored in four matches, no win. I mean, how else do you want me to put that?
The first coach in the history of the country to play four matches without a single win in AFCON qualifying campaign. That's quite a record.
Oh, the first Blasters coach.
I didn't want him to say it spectacularly.
But... I don't know. It is going to be the most difficult situation that the FA would find themselves in.
You know, it's possible for us to finish this qualifying series without winning a game.
It's possible.
And that would be the first time ever in history.
It's very possible.
That Ghana would go through a qualifying series without winning a single match. I mean, do you know how bad that is?
It is bad. Extremely bad. But it's not the first time we've been failing to qualify for an AFCON. 2004, we were not there. We watched it on television.
2004, we were broke.
Right now, we have money.
Oh. But even with that, we won again.
No, I'm saying right now, we have money. Do we have money?
When was the last time the Blasters complained about money?
It's not about the Blasters complaining about money.
No, I'm talking about
right
the
now.
Football structure. Right,
Mufta, finish up for
okay, me. Okay, so let me just let me just wrap up. So I think that Otto has learned from the drama and double header against Sudan. And this is the time for him to right those wrongs. As to whether he'll be able to get the boys to be motivated to play is another thing. Because you talked about coaching. Coaching is a major factor. You even compared Ghana's squad of now to the squad that played the 2006 World Cup. And that is the team we all adore so much. But if you take a look at the comparison that you did, Eclair suggests that our players are not as bad as the perception being created or impression being created out there about the current crop of players. People often claim that they are not committed, and I've always had my reservations about that. From my decision to even fly down alone, risking myself to fly, anything can happen with me in the air, to come and play, that alone is a commitment. Getting on the pitch to play is another commitment. But many times people will say that the players are not committed. I've always disagreed with that position. And I think that...
I think there's two ways of looking at it. They want to be, but maybe subconsciously they don't want to be. But they don't know that they don't want to be. They don't want to take too many risks. They don't know that that's what their mind's telling them. That's what will motivate, for example. That's the difference between putting body on the line and then removing your foot. That's a crucial tackle.
That is also a possibility, and that could also go to the psychological aspect of the game, where we've always spoken about the need to have a psychologist within this team. I was made to understand that, Mr. Okereke, if you are listening to us this afternoon.
Oh, he's listening.
Yes, okay. The first time you were asked to hire a psychologist, you took a certain position. That's the sort to suggest that a psychologist is not needed in the team.
If you have him and the kind of speeches he gives, I guess
that's
like, well,
that's why he's doing the job himself.
Exactly. Yeah.
If what I was told is anything to go by, because it was kind of a 3-man meeting, if I was told it's anything to go by, Mr. Crick, you have to consider that position and maybe look at the possibility of hiring
a psychologist for the team, because it's critical. Because at this point, you ask the question whether the boys will be motivated to play. This is the job of a psychologist. It's not for them to come and sit down and you go there and hit your head and go like you are playing, going to play Niger. The last time I told you, the 4 or 5 of these players, their players cannot make my team. That is not the motivation that they need to go out there and play. It's completely different. And at this point, as to whether we qualify or not, as I mentioned, Kwesi Appiah said we'll watch it on TV.
Oh, we are not qualified. That one, so, they don't even give people.
What? You want to go to Morocco?
I will watch on TV.
Danikay,
One of the best things to say is covering an AFCON with your team not in it. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. You're just in cruise control the whole time.
There's no emotions.
There's nothing. You don't think. You know, there's no videos of Sadiq Adam smashing chairs. Yeah, there's no video of journalists fighting players. There's no, none of that. It's just, it's cruise control, man. The one of the best World Cups I've enjoyed, was 2018 World Cup.
Mm.
You just sit down, relax, and enjoy.
You don't care.
I'll enjoy the football. Enjoy the football. Hello, Fenn. Can we adapt the style of Nigeria Super Eagles where the main team captain is Ahmed Musa, but because he can't get to start games due to the fierce competition, the on-field captain is Chuse Akon? Stanley in Achimota, what is your suggestion?
We've done it before.
General captain.
We had a general captain. we've done it twice.
Danny Kay, Juju, man. Pate, he shouldn't be called again. He can't choose and pick which games he wants to play for the Blasters. And the AFCON have the last two that they went, they didn't do anything. We should focus,
including the one where including the one where he said he didn't want the discarding Zamban. He changed.
Me say AFCON, he got two. Yanya she
came onto the pitch. He can say with his own Zamban.
We should focus.
But you understand.
Hey, I like this message.
Will you take?
He said that Sakatu said this is a message from Sakatu.
He said what we should focus
from looting. He said Pate there, he shouldn't be called again. He can't choose and pick which games to play for the Blasters. And the AFCON said Akumati Anguan, we should focus on the Nkrata World Cup qualification. Nkrata World Cup qualification.
That's the most important.
That's the most important thing. Sakatu, thank you for your message.
Top guy.
This one said, good afternoon, guys. Okay, let me continue the message. Whatever you're doing now is not a joke at all. Any coach whose ears are hard cannot achieve a better result. Big up to yourselves, Ajiman Joseph, Community Night Tema, a.k.a. Ajingo the Man.
Ajingo the Man.
Ajingo the Man. Said
Ajingo, you are the man.
This one says, Ghana's soccer problem solution is one. Keto Kriku's led management team must go. Simple and tedious. Yeah. That's a message from Kojo. Interesting.
And I like Kojo's phone number.
Okay, go and take it. We will talk about Arsenal and Chelsea very shortly. But let me.
Oh, you're not talking the charge.
What do you want to say about the charge?
The charge.
Yes, Mufta. They've charged George Free.
They are afraid of Dr.
Are they afraid of Abdul Karim? Alhaji Gruza.
No, because we've seen, this week alone, twice. We've seen,
yes, this one said, he said he will make it his life mission.
Ashok.
To stop anybody that wants to do a test.
George Freer's owner, if you didn't look hard, you won't find it. But they went to look for it.
They looked.
What are you?
But we were, the Hotama close one,
it's
was
everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Headlines.
Yeah.
He said, Summer Texas Premier League win was manipulated.
Yeah. Serious allegations. Yeah.
In fact, when I personally spoke to him, he talked about how people at the FA.
No charge.
No one did.
What did George Freer say?
George Freer said that, the last round of matches in the Ghana Premier League, based on what happened in the Interlice and Ashgold game, the last round of matches that were played last season, also deserved to be investigated because he felt the outcome of those matches.
What is wrong with that?
We're not that
is competitive. That factors?
And
we have said this matter here.
If for anything at all, how can you, one of the biggest clubs in this country, you are 10 minutes from relegation and you score the goal that will keep you up. And then you are joking.
You are not
like
celebrating.
Nothing has happened. Boga, it is highly suspicious.
No, and then the other
highly
one.
Highly suspicious.
The other one that Heart of Lion become Chelsea.
A fan was saying the ref no obeji penalty, obeji
wedgie. Ah, same kind.
Same kind wedgie.
Petrosol Platinum Energy as proud sponsors of Game Plan. Every drop matters, just as every penny counts. If you want to buy fuel, make sure it's Petrosol. It's your clean, quality fuel in full quantity. Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Also proudly sponsored by Betway. And Betway Mega Money Wheel is here. If you're ready, get ready now. If you aren't, get ready. If you are, listen up. Every single day, you have the key to unlock 5 free spins on a Mega Money Wheel, where you stand a chance to win a massive 1 million Ghana Cedi jackpot. So what are you waiting for? Log into betway.com.gh today and take your spin. All thanks to Betway, of course. But let me tell you about this as well. If you're passionate about corporate governance and sustainable growth, join the Institute of Directors Ghana as they host the CIF IODGH Corporate Governance Excellence Awards and launch their 25th anniversary celebrations. This year's theme is Environmental, Social and Governance Reporting, essential layers of corporate governance and sustainable growth, a perfect platform for business leaders, directors, and governance professionals to gather insights on ESG principles and corporate responsibility. The event will be hosted by Reverend Mrs. Angela Carmen Appiah, President and Chair of the Governing Council of IODGH. And we are honored to have Her Excellency Simon Geiger, the Swiss ambassador to Ghana, as the special guest of honor. The date is Friday, 15th November 2024, 6:30 p.m. at the Kofi Ohinukunedi Auditorium at UPSA. Dress code is formal. For reservations, if you want a corporate table, which admits as many as 10 people, it's 12,000 Ghana cedis. If you're a non-IODGH member, it's 1,500 Ghana cedis per head. IODGH members, it's 800 Ghana cedis per head. To sponsor this event or reserve a seat, please contact Miss Celestia Kujo at 059-399-9503 or Mr. Sarah Mankra at 025-796-1522. Don't miss this opportunity to be part of Ghana's leading governance event. And Chalkbox is here. You want to deliver something to your ward in school? Don't worry. You don't have to drive all the way to Cape Coast or all the way to Tamale. Use Chalkbox. Chalkbox services, okay? Chalkbox are here. And you can order anything you want, and they will take it and deliver it to you at the school for you, all right? Deliveries will always begin within the next 10 working days, reaching schools, vendors, residents nationwide throughout, and delivery partner is FedEx. If you want to get in touch with them, just call them on 0302-239-134 to pre-order for your delivery. Thank you for your continued support and understanding as we bring you a product you can rely on. This is from Casey Owusu, CEO, Chopbox Technologies Limited. You can email him as well, info@chopboxonline.com. And if you want to call the CEO himself, his number is 0548-432672. But also, Internal Audit Leadership Summit is here. Sapient Envision, a division of Innovare Limited, invites you to the Internal Audit Leadership Summit 2024. Join us from November 27 to the 29 at the Aqua Safari Resort in Adar. This year's theme is Strategic Leadership and Internal Audit, Driving Organizational Excellence in a Volatile Environment. Connect with industry leaders and enhance your leadership skills. Secure your spot for 15,000 Ghana cedis. Group discounts are available for 3 or more registrations from a company. Your package includes accommodation, 3 square meals, summit materials, and access to recreational activities. To register, go to auditleadershipafrica.com or call the following numbers, 0540-668414 and register. All right, your messages are welcome on the show. 055-111-1997. 055-111-1997. I've got quite a few messages here. But guys, there's a big game coming up this weekend. We have about 15 minutes to get into it. Arsenal versus Chelsea. Danny K, your favorite Arsenal team, things are kind of falling apart a little bit. What's going on with it? Chelsea yesterday put 8 goals past Noah's Ark. Noah FC.
Flooded the Ark.
Chelsea flooded the Ark. Pachali, the Conference League. If you want to know, that is a joke. This is the first time in my life that I've seen a football club named Noah. Like, no mean who that.
But we told you when you were going to start.
Hey!
Are you in their country?
No, please. They're from Armenia.
So don't blow over there.
Chelsea's Team B gave them 8 yesterday.
Team B, is he saying?
You have not been following, you see.
And that's a Team B. Enzo is in Team B.
Okay. Enzo, dear. But DK, listen.
You have Felix in Team B?
Yeah.
Okay. Sunday, big game. Arsenal, Chelsea.
Your opening statement was a bit problematic.
I said things are kind of falling apart a little bit.
You said Danny K, your favorite Arsenal team.
Ah, okay.
There's a small issue there.
Yeah, there's a small issue.
See, times have changed.
Okay.
And where my heart lies, they have shared the team year. You understand?
Yeah.
They've sucked the poison. So that's where my heart is.
Okay.
There's a soft spot, obviously, and there will always be a soft spot for Papa Wenger's team, but they are not my favorites. But anyway, see, Arteta, he needs to be careful.
Arteta, if he doesn't win the league, must Arsenal consider sacking him?
Arteta needs to be careful. You see, friends, at the start of this whole Arteta adventure with Arsenal, I was very critical. Because of his lack of experience, I said he might have some good ideas, but the inexperience will cost Arsenal if they don't take care, and he will have to learn on the job. And I also said that even when he gets there, that football is not waiting for him, but even when he gets there, what's the guarantee that he'll be able to win the big stuff when he finally reaches there? Mm-hmm. Now he is here. This is the season where Arsenal is supposed to. Because look, this team is ripe. And I tell you what, that Man City will have troubles this season. Mm-hmm. But the unfortunate thing is that as Man City are having their troubles, Arsenal too are failing to capitalize. Mm-hmm. Which is an issue. Because look, City will not be like this forever. Pep will fix things.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing for Arsenal to do, or whoever wants to win the league, and that is what Klopp did it the one time he won the league,
mm-hmm.
establish a huge gap so that by the time Man City starts getting back to what they know how to do and they are winning long games in a row and going on these crazy streaks,
mm-hmm.
you already have established this gap and it will be too much for them to close.
Mm-hmm.
But Arsenal are also fumbling, mm-hmm. which is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, look, especially this season, I don't think injuries or his injury concern should be an issue. Yes, the back line, there were some, but it's not. If I think it was just two games where he was very short at the back.
Mm-hmm.
But this Odegaard injury, you have players like Merino who have come in, Trossard can play, you've bought Sterling, this young boy, Wanyeri. Like, the squad is stacked.
Yes.
I don't understand why they are like, all of a sudden, Arsenal is like they can't defend. I don't get it.
Only this season. Not like, long ago, they were comparing that Saliba Gabriel partnership to John Terry Cavalier.
Allow them. And you see,
only this season, oh.
Oh, me, I like those debates.
It was like a few weeks ago.
Allow them.
Look at them now. Look at them now.
Look.
Like Chris Brown. Look at me now. Look at me now.
What is that?
Smoothness level.
Well, you know, correct.
Look at me now. Look at me now.
Chaidu, you make me rap the whole thing. Boga.
Go ahead. Look at me now.
See, my issue is, look, Arsenal seriously need to fix things. And to be frank, I saw very encouraging signs against Inter Milan. That second half, I don't know. Sometimes when God is doing his things, he does his own way. But the chances that Arsenal created in that second half, I thought they should have scored. But that is a very good sign. Because I don't think they were creating enough during this very poor period that they've been in. They've seemed very still up front. But this time around, they were creating some really good chances. Yes, they were not able to score. But Odegaard is back. I think Rice will miss the game. But Odegaard is back, which is a huge boost for this Arsenal team. Now, he doesn't just affect their attacking impetus when they have the ball going forward. But when they are defending from the front, that is very essential to the Arsenal defense. The pressing up front, it really helps out with the whole team's defending. And I think that has also been one of the factors that has caused them to concede the goals that they are conceding. So it's a very good thing that Capito is back. And hopefully from an Arsenal point of view, they can take advantage of Chelsea's very poor form at home. Now, Chelsea are what? They are 11th in the home league table, 11th. They've played 5 games
for home matches. Yeah,
for home matches. Chelsea's form at home hasn't necessarily been the best. So, I think this is something that Arsenal could take advantage of. If this Chelsea team is going to draw points this season, it's mostly likely at home, especially during this period. I think this is the best time to face Chelsea at home before they start improving on the record. So Arsenal need to take advantage of that. And I don't, as Maresca spoken about Palmer, I don't
injury update. You mean?
Yeah,
I've not seen anywhere. Let me check.
Because Charlie, if
he's back,
if Palmer hasn't played, a straight win for Arsenal. But if Palmer is playing, it becomes a huge problem, especially in the absence of Rice, because then tactically it means Partey will have even more to do, and that free role that Palmer has. Look, the way they play ball, that free role that Palmer has, and the way Chelsea attacks, Chelsea will always create chances, no matter how.
This is
bad
what Enzo says about Palmer.
Okay.
He said Cole is getting better, but because he can walk and have dinner doesn't mean he is completely fit. He's getting better and we still have 2 days to prepare for the game.
Okay.
Hopefully we can have him for a session at least on Saturday, and then we can make a decision after that.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll play. Mm. I'm sure he'll play. And that will put a lot of pressure on Thomas Partey. But hopefully Arteta is able to figure, and I'm talking from an Arsenal point of view, he's able to figure out a system to stop the Chelsea attack. Because as for defensively, Chelsea will concede, we know that, but they can also score, and they can if you give them the opportunity. And you see, it depends on who the chances are falling to. If the more of the chances are falling to Palmer, you can be 2-0 or 3-0 down by half time. He's that prolific. But if they are sharing it between Jacksinho and Co, like Nonny and Co, like they can miss some. But look, this will be, I think, look, this Arsenal is a must watch. It's a must watch. And to be frank, this game usually doesn't follow form, especially at Stamford Bridge. It usually doesn't follow form. So it's one of those games that you can't just flat out predict based on how the teams are doing.
Fair
so
enough.
I'm really looking forward to it. But I want Arsenal to win because they are more likely to make more use of the 3 points than Chelsea.
You think Chelsea are out of the race for the title, eh? You don't respect Arsenal. Only earlier this season, after like 2 or 3 matches, were comparing Saliba and Gabriel to John Terry and Carvalho. But after 10 matches into the season, suicide doors, Ari Kari. Look at me now. Look at me now. they were talking about it. Oh, that this team can even concede single digit goals. Hey,
single digit inflation.
You have about 2 minutes. Talk to me about Chelsea. He's spoken extensively about Arsenal, but Chelsea, man, this is a completely different Chelsea team this year. Enzo Maresca has built some personality into this team. They never stand down. They come out swinging. When I predicted they would win the league, people called me crazy. They didn't even think they would be at this point, at this stage of the season already. They don't even have necessarily the most prolific goal scorers, but Chelsea are competitive. It doesn't matter you score first, they score first. They will always be there. Arsenal are up against it. Don't you agree?
You said they don't have prolific goal scorers.
Oh, they do not. But Jackson. But you know, I saw a stat. Jackson has more goals than every player at Arsenal.
So,
including the one they spent $65 million on, Champions League winner.
Yeah, so he's prolific.
So,
actually, I take my words back. Jackson is prolific.
Look, Arsenal have issues. No one can deny that. I think Daniel has.
Can we praise Chelsea small?
Ah, but after what you've done, what else should I add?
Add more.
No. Or you want to answer the question yourself? You want to answer yourself? Look, irrespective of everything that has happened, I think Arsenal struggles actually allow them and makes them favorites for this one.
I see.
Because Arsenal are aware that these days they can't attack to save their lives. And I don't think that Arteta is going to disrespect the progress Chelsea have made and completely ignore the context of his club and say that because Odegaard is suddenly available, he's going to play on the front foot and be expansive. They don't have the security or the extra layer of security that Declan Rice gives the team. The other problem, or more to the point, the young man they signed from Spain is not as influential in their build-up when they have the ball. That affects balance, right? Mikel Merino. That affects balance because it limits how high up the pitch Odegaard has to be when the team is building up.
Okay.
Right. And so for me, Arteta knows that they have to sit deep. Not necessarily play on the front foot, but play counter-attacking football because that's Arsenal's easiest route to go these days. When they play on the front foot, they struggle to find rhythm and to create chances. I think they are going to sit deep. I think they are going to award Chelsea or accord them some respects. Let them play and then pick
them
up.
That's how you think they're going to win.
And I know that's how they will win because when teams have made Chelsea look very ordinary, it has been by playing that way this season.
Interesting. Again, the two people predicting against Chelsea. This is interesting. Annie Osan would just say we've been struggling, but on Sunday we are going to have a complete party at the break. And we ask our fans to get their palm wine and calabash ready. It's a win for Arsenal. Kasayan from Matok is A. Gray Raymond. Gapo, he says, I'll call Daniel and tell him that you said Chelsea is winning the league, so you should stop crying over Arsenal winning the league. Chelsea should come to the league and score 8 goals. I'm waiting for your last match before the international break so that you can laugh. He's a Liverpool fan. Liverpool are in a good place. Kojo says, Pep is a smart guy and didn't reveal all his secrets to Arteta. Arteta thinks he's got it all. Cheer, Arsenal can't win this match, this league. He says, all right, Kojo, thank you. This one says, Arsenal is not in form, all right, but they will beat Chelsea come Sunday because they have a better defensive balance than Chelsea. This message is from Aziz Goro in Tema Community 1. And this message says, Daniel, can't watch me. Arsenal will take their 3 points. That's Ajman. Joseph also with that message. All right, thank you very much, Achu. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Muftal. Thank you all for tuning in to another edition of Game Plan here on 99.7 Joy FM on Hits 103.9 FM. The show is proudly sponsored by Betway and Patreon. So it's available as a podcast on all podcast platforms and also on YouTube on the Joy News YouTube page. It will be uploaded there and you can watch back a little later. My name is Fentio. Tahir Fentio, thanks a lot for your time. We're back again next Friday. Until then, do take care of yourself and bye-bye. Up next is a BBC World Service.